and it's the interstate hour between 9 and 10. Michael Felgate, Dan Malecki and Matt Stewart to guide you through race day mornings after 10 o'clock. But a big first half hour here, particularly with David Gately and Lizzie Jelce. We've had Gator for the previous hour. Lovely to welcome in Lizzie to the program. Good morning to you, Lizzie.
Thanks, Warren. Yeah, great to be on board. It's looking forward to the day's racing. Obviously, we're on a good four track, which is exciting because we haven't been on that open surface for quite some time. Rail out 6 metres, so generally that favours that, you know, horses that get nice runs on pace, unless there's plenty of pace in the race, and that helps those horses that are back markers.
It was just a great day's racing to watch from afar for me last week, Slipper Day. I know the weather had started to improve. What was it like to be on course for Slipper Day last week?
Incredible, because we haven't had the opportunity to have the crowds back at the races in such full force, and having them back for Group 1 racing, you know, it was really magical, and less sort of restrictions, so there was people able to move around a bit more. But the racing was amazing, great results. Of course, Tommy Berry really stole the show, didn't he, with those two Group 1 victories. But, of course, Annabelle getting her first Group 1 victory as well was pretty special. But I think we've seen a really nice two-year-old colt stay inside, and looking forward to following his future next preparation.
We'll get your thoughts throughout the next half hour on things you're particularly looking forward to seeing today. And Gator, who's been with us to go through the Caulfield card, what's your overall thoughts on the meeting at Rose Hill, Gator?
Yeah, look, I always go into a feature day pretty confident. Warren, I guess the analogy is, you know, we've all played certain sports, and if you go in with the preparation, the right preparation, you have every right to be confident that, you know, you'll perform well. So it's obviously the depth is outstanding. No, excited for the day.
Race one is a Group 3 for the two-year-olds over 1,400 metres, and we scratch numbers 10, 15, 16, 17 and 18. The bottom emergency is not getting a run. Tab.com.au fixed odds at the moment. Gator have Conrad favourite at 360 from With Your Blessing at $6. Safe at 650. Converge, 750. And then we're out to double figures. The first of those in double figures readily available at $13. How do you see the first?
Yeah, well, look, form lines don't always tell the whole story. It's just one of many pieces of the puzzle. But what I have done is lent to Conrad based on his Wyong win. Obviously, the Mazoo form in the first run reads well itself, but the Wyong run's probably more relevant. He was able to lead and win well, running really good time, and he thrashed a key rival in Maurice's Medal, who then was close up behind a couple of key rivals here. So if he had that sort of margin on that horse, you know, maybe he's just better than these. But again, doesn't tell the whole story. Converge wide, no cover in the Paygo. Paygo, I thought he battled on really well. He crossed the line with Ingratiating. He just ran well in a slipper. And Flying Witness drifted back Riesling. She's in the game. I'm just lent to the males most of these key races, though. And Ready Available is good at Flemington against the pattern. So I don't think the race ends there, but I've gone with six Conrad on top over Converge, the two.
Six ahead of Converge. Six ahead of the three. Lizzie, two-year-olds, and I know you love looking at them and seeing how they progress through their preparations. What are you looking forward to most of assessing today in this race?
I think Conrad, like Gator said, he does look as though he's got quite a lot of ability, and this is a race that he's been set for all the way through. So he does look like the type of horse that can progress, and as far as looks are concerned, he's by Maurice. He seems to be holding his condition the last time that I saw him, and he's definitely a horse that I think has got a really bright future in races up to the 1,400 and possibly beyond. The horse that I quite like at the each way odds that Gator mentioned was Readily Available. I think that he's had a great preparation. He's a lovely, big, strong type. That Flemington run where he ran fifth in the size was a really solid performance for a race like this. We know that he runs the 1,400. And the trial that he has had since then shows that he's in good order and he gets a perfect run from gate two. So he's the value of the race, but I think Conrad would be very hard to beat.
We're going to see more of them as they progress, but just your first thoughts on some of the progeny of Maurice that you've been able to cast your eye over?
Yeah, they're all a mixed bag. That he doesn't sort of stamp them with one specific type of element, but he looks as though he's got quite a lot of athleticism, which is exactly what he had, and he's quite light on his feet. So they're the type of horses that we seem to be seeing by Maurice.
Neville Selwood's race two on the card at Rose Hill today. It's clear of scratchings, and Master of Wine on the back up, a relatively short price favourite at 210, but Shared Ambition, clear second pick, 340, and Entente, the other horse in single figures, at $4, Gator. So three horses dominating the market here. How do you see it?
Look, I think Master of Wine, I think he's the best for the day, but it's also D-Day as well. So, look, the quick turnaround, I thought he ran quite well. He never threatened the elite, but he ran well. You know, this time last year, he was crossing the line with Very Elegant in the Queen Elizabeth off a wide run. Now, I don't think he's the same horse as that, but he's still very good. And back at this level, he is the right one. Obviously, given his rating and what he's been able to achieve, the set weight penalties in 55 kilos, means he's going to be hard to beat, you know, providing the full applications there. Shared Ambition had a fair task in an on-pace dominated Australian Cup. But he ran well. The Mount Popper form's good. He gave that horse 7 kilos when he beat him. In terms of Beyond Speed, did bolt in an Albury Cup. I don't think he's as good as the other two, but the leader here, you know, we will, if it is an on-pace pattern, it's advantage him. And looks like Elvis has a case as well, but pretty keen one. But, yeah, D-Day, Shared Ambition on Tonte Dangers.
Most of these are up and running. Lizzie, what are you looking for in the yard here?
Yeah, looking for they're pretty much all at the same stage in their preparation. So I suppose the one that's doing the best is going to be the one that's winning the race. I agree with Gator. I think it's D-Day for Master of Wine. I want to see him win this race. I'd be disappointed if he doesn't. On Tonte is, as he mentioned, gets all the favours up on speed, and he's really fit now, and that Albury Cup win was excellent. So if the track is playing into the favour of the leaders and they're not going to set a you know, frenetic tempo, then Entente gets all the favours. And the horse that Gator mentioned looked like Elvis. He's just been getting towards his peak fitness, along with Master of Wine, and he looks as though he's hitting this race at the right time. But really want to see Master of Wine win this race today, and I think that he can.
Lizzie, you referenced it was great to be on course last week in Annabelle Neesham training her first Group 1. Remiss of me not to mention what it was like to have a slipper runner.
Yes, it was very exciting. I don't know what it would be like if you had a slipper runner that you really thought could genuinely win the race. We obviously were using it as a bit of a lead-up run in towards the Sires, and that her grand final will be the Champagne. But it was pretty nerve-wracking, I must say. I felt like I'd done 10 rounds with, you know, Mike Tyson by the time I'd got home after all the emotional ups and downs of the day. But, yeah, very exciting. And I'm trying to purchase her saddle cloth at the moment to have as a bit of memorabilia.
And that Queen of Wizardry is the horse we're talking about. How'd she come through that run?
Yes, she came through really well. She's absolutely bouncing. She's so tough and so resilient, and she just nothing seems to faze her. She's like a six-year-old gelding instead of being like a two-year-old. And you know, Warren, when they're like that, they generally save their energy and conserve their energy for race day, and that's exactly what she does.
Good attributes to have. Race 3 at Rose Hill today is the Tullock Stakes for the 3-year-olds over 2,000 metres. We take out numbers 10 and 11, and up from Victoria, Cherry Tortoni heading the market at $3.60. Ahead of Favreau, $4.80, $5 for the front man. That same price for Yale Town, $5.50 for Young Werder, also up from Victoria. Gator, what's your thoughts on the Tullock?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting race. There's a lot of queries. I think Favreau can run well in it. Certainly flew late to beat a key rival here in Prompt Prodigy. They just stayed at 1,600. He was wide off a hot speed, yet still stormed over them. Ran fast time. He did beat home Cherry Sultani in the Spring Champion Stakes when they clashed here. He was fourth fastest time that day. I think he might be a little bit stronger at the end of 2,000 than Cherry Sultani, but obviously Cherry Sultani's a danger and was a clear figure run at the Valley, circling them. Wrong day for that. Young Bertha beat him home in the Valley. And Yale Town in the mix. This Kiwi, the front man, is interesting. The Kiwis tend to measure up in this race as a rule, but the horse that he beat last time, Milford, was beaten 10 lengths last week in the Guineas behind Mawunga, so that has me a little nervous. So I've gone with Favreau on top in a race of queries.
And a query race too, I suppose, from a form perspective, Lizzie, with some coming from New Zealand, some up from Melbourne that you've probably seen before, but a few differing form lines coming together here.
Absolutely. I was really interested to hear what Gator had to say, because a lot of the Melbourne horses I don't know very well at all. When that does happen, it is all about the yard for me. So I'll be looking at them and seeing how they all present. as far as the ones I've seen, Yale Town is doing such a good job, only in his second preparation, and I think that he could ride really well again. So I would be sort of looking towards him, but the yard will be all important when I have a look at them walking around the paddock.
Yeah, Cherry Tortoni and Young Werder, obviously. You would have seen Cherry Tortoni before when he's had a trip to Sydney previously, so at least you've got a reference point.
Yeah, he had that one run up here, that was right. Yeah, so I saw him, but I haven't seen him since then, and obviously Young Werder I haven't seen either. So looking forward to seeing how they front up, and he was, you know, he was a spring three-year-old when I did see him, so looking forward to see him at Cherry Tortoni as an autumn three-year-old.
And he heads the market in a relatively even race for the Tullock Stakes, race three at Rosehill today. Race four's clear of stretchings, the Emancipation for the Fillies and Mares, a competitive race at Group 2 level. And Crone heading the market. She's been going around at big odds recently. She's a lot shorter today, $2.90. Nimmerly $5, $6.50 for All Saints Eve, Sweet Deal at $8.50, $9 Ice Bath, and just into $10 for Graceful Glamour, who gets her preferred dry ground. What are your thoughts here, Gator?
Yeah, look, I think Crone's pretty obvious. You know, it hadn't been the case leading in. I mean, she'd been racing really well. But 6 weeks between runs into the Guy Walter, but a really strong winner. Ran good time, good splits, then, you know, underrated again in the Coolmore. It was a Group 1. But again, strongest late, race fastest home, race 2 lengths above Group 1 average. So a lot of merit on what I'm seeing her overall times and on the clock in their finishing speed. So certainly with her today. Nimmerly was a pretty stylish return win. She beat a couple of subsequent winners, Yodash, Polly Gray. Kept fresh but trialling well since. Wide run in an angst, yet still third to Emeralds, which you can tie in here with Crone and a few others. All Saints Eve's flying. Can she make 2.3 lengths up on Crone? Well, she might be able to. I think she draws a gate this time and can posse up closer, so you can certainly make a case her. And Ice Bath just would have liked the rain to come, but one Crone on top.
What do you think the most important things to look for here are, Lizzie?
The improvers and the horses that are at their peak in maintaining their condition. I am really keen on Nimmerly. I think she's come back better than ever this preparation, and she's showed me that, well, she's underrated, but this time I think this is going to be her best prep, so I'm really keen on seeing her and seeing how she's progressed, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I saw at the trial she looked as though she's ticking over nicely, but on her last win and on her trial and on the way that she's come back on look, I think she's the one that I want to be with, obviously all being well that she parades in good order. Crone, I'm not expecting too much improvement from her, she just needs to maintain her condition, and she is. When mares are in form and they're holding their condition and they're racing well, they invariably continue to put up good performances, and that's exactly what I'm expecting from her. So those two would be the two that I'd be interested in. And at odds, I still think a horse like Sweet Deal is going well, but she's got to sort of improve a lot off of her last start performance, which I think she can do on top of the ground.
Nimmerly, perhaps a horse on the up and maybe one to watch for the future also from Lizzie, and keen to have a look at her today in race four. Race five's the Star Kingdom over 1,200 metres. It's a Group 3. It's clear of scratchings. And California Zimbal heads an even market at $4. Pandemic, $7. Prime Candidate at $8. Tab.com.au fixed odds. And Wohere and Stablemate to Pandemic at $9. And then we're just into double figures for both Signor Fox and Peltzer. Gator, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's a lot between Pandemic and California Zimbal on raw talent. They have clashed once before in really fast race, dominated closer to the speed. Pandemic got within 2.2 lengths of California Zimbal that day at 1,000 metres. And I think 1,200 suits him better. So I've been drawn in by the price, to be honest. At him, I think he went up around $10 tab compared to California Zimbal, who went up the favourite. As long as they can run on, I think he will be doing just that. And I went with him over California Zimbal. Certainly, Rohirrim off a fresh, and that's the key to this horse. He's actually 5 for 5 first up. Easy Eddie next. But I thought 11 Pandemic was the value in the race.
You would have seen a bit of most of these throughout their career, Lizzie, but a few of them are at different stages of their preparations. What are you looking for most in the yard today here?
Yeah, I think with the horses that Gator mentioned, they've definitely got great chances, but I just as a point of difference, I give you a couple of horses from the trials that have been trialling well and look as though they're hitting this race at the right time. I thought Signore Fox looked as though he was ready to go after his two trials. And I don't know a great, I haven't got a good profile on Wisdom of Water, but from what I've seen at the trials, he looks as though he's a sharp type, and he's been trialing up really strongly. So those are the two that I'm most interested in seeing how they present in the yard, especially Signore Fox.
When you're looking at horses, I know it varies individually, but first up for horses, what do you generally look for in terms of their behaviour in a mounting yard for a sprint trip?
I love to see them relax. I hate seeing horses first up who are really buzzed up. It really sort of puts me off of having them into the selections, because I think sometimes they can just feel too fresh. But a horse, say, for instance, like Signore Fox, generally carries quite a lot of condition naturally, so I'd be looking to see that he's not carrying more than usual. And up to from 1,000 to 1,200 metres, I don't mind them a little bit underdone. So fitness is relative to what distance they're running over first up and what they're up against, whether they're up against some horses who have had plenty of racing. So, I can see the fitness factor is going to be beneficial in this type of race, but looking for a bit of value, I thought a horse like Signore Fox could jump into the multiples.
First of the Group 1s, Race 6, the Vinery Stud Stakes for the 3-year-old fillies over 2,000 metres. It's clear of scratchings. Harmony Rose for Josh Parr and Mark Newnham heads the market at $2.70, Personal at $4.80, $6 for Hungry Heart, and then we're out into double figures for Eliza Beale. What are your thoughts on the Vinery, Gator?
And I'm with the market this time. I think Harmony Rose, lots of strength in her Kenzo win fresh. I actually gave her some hope in the Randwick Guineas, and she worked early. Not only that, she worked in the fastest part of the race. So I thought the run was terrific. Finished, with Moonga, head of wheelhouse. It's great form. She gets back to her own sex, draws the pole, and I certainly don't think 2,000 metres pulls her up. So she's the one to beat. Hungry Heart, two forgive runs at the start of the prep, then on to dry ground, 1,500 in the far lap, and ran over them. It was a day not many swoop from the back too. So I think she's a danger. First go at 2,000 metres for her as well. Miraval and Princess Rahane through the Salto Angel form. You can tie them in through Personal. I think there's some depth outside of Harmony Rose, but happy with her on top.
What do you look for here with the fillies over 2,000, Lizzie?
Yeah, looking for them just, I guess, to be relaxed. First of them stepping up to the 2,000 metres. I think Harmony Rose will be hard to beat. I had her on top, actually, in the Randwick Guineas out of all of those horses. Beautiful colts and geldings that I saw, I thought that she was the best out of all of them. And exactly what Gator said, it was a hit and run because everything was about Mwanga because he was so unlucky. But she did a lot of work to get to where she did in the run, and she had the tenacity to hold on and run really strongly through the line and run third. So I think she's going to be hard to beat in this race. And I hope she does get a little bit buzzy, Warren, when she gets out onto the track. So that's my only concern with her, that she doesn't sort of have that chink in her armour where she gets a little bit full of herself, but hopefully they know what she's like and they can manage her in the correct way, because I think this will be a race that she will be very hard to beat in.
So if we're watching, obviously your pick of the yard will go out, but you even want to keep an eye on Harmony Rose as she heads to the barriers and even behind the barriers?
Yeah, that's where she gets most worked up, which is surprising. Most of the time it's in the yard, but she does it going to the gates and behind the gates. So yeah, keep an eye on her, and hopefully it's not detrimental to her, because you have to be on your A game to win these races, and that's exactly what she's going to need to be today.
Second of the Group 1s, the Tankerin Stakes over 2,400 metres, Race 7 at Rose Hill. Sir Dragonair heading the market at $5.50 in an even race. Melody Bell out to the 2,400, $7. Angel of Truth on the backup for Team Hawks at $8.50. Mirage Dancer, $9. Same price for Spirit Ridge and Toffee Tongue. A very even market here. Gator, how do you see it?
Oh, look, absolutely no idea. I think my 10th or 11th top-rated runners, you probably can make an equal case with your top pick. So a real challenge. I think Angel of Truth can run well. Obviously going super this prep. Looked in need of 2,400 for me in the Australian Cup. He didn't quicken, but he held on well. Then he led in the Randwick, and he made two world-class horses work to beat him. So he did beat home Sir Dragonair there. And now he gets back a notch, and now he gets to 2,400. So it's not a bad case, but look, I can make a similarly strong case for Sir Dragonair. Nicky Jack Cave beat Twilight Payment, was on the heels of Sir Dragonair at home on a wet track. She's Ideal was a moral beaten last week. She can win. Toffee Tongue just beat a good field. She's crossed the line, was very elegant. Melody Bell's got to run the trip. The Chosen One. I could go on, if you like.
It'll be a good mounting yard with some quality types there, Lizzie, at 2,400 metres and some of the horses on the back up. What are you most keen to assess today?
Yeah, it's exactly what Gator said. It is a tough race. You could make a case for a number of these runners. I'll help out Gator. Spirit Ridge is a big improver. He should be taking quite a bit of improvement from that last start performance behind Toffee Time. She was at the peak of her condition and she was ready to go third up into the campaign. So that was a great run. I expect her to run very similar, and she's, you know, drawn to get a perfect run in the race. But Spirit Ridge, out of all of them, he'd be the one that takes a lot of improvement from his first up performance. He was really hot in the yard last start. I'm expecting him to be a lot more relaxed. That's how he's paraded each and every time, apart from last start. And I think that was just his undoing. So those are the two that I'll be most interested in. But it's a bit of a head-scratcher.
What are you looking for from Melody Bell in terms of assessing her out to this trip?
Just hopefully. She's always relaxed. She never seems to turn a hair, so that's always one of her greatest attributes. Her fitness is, she's had plenty of racing, so this is her fourth run in this campaign, so I'm expecting her nice and fit and forward in condition. She's very, very uncomplicated every time I've seen her, so hopefully she turns up in exactly the same manner.
Race 8's the Doncaster Prelude over 1,500 metres at Group 3. We take out numbers 12 and 16 and Rock for Team Hawks heading the market at $4. In an even race, Yardash 440, Subadar at $7, $8 for Buffalo River, and just into double figures for Batiga and Purple Sector at $10 and $11 respectively. Gator, how are you seeing the Prelude?
Yeah, well, Rock and Subadar are both off-speed runners, so pattern by Race 8 will be important, but Rock's return was outstanding. He ran home 33.18 last 600, clearly the fastest all day. It wasn't a swooper's day either. He's obviously unbeaten second up, including an exceptional Cameron Handicap win when second up last time in on soft ground. I think he's even better on bone dry. Superdar's just a really good horse. Big last 600 figure at Flemington. And 7 weeks between runs, stayed at 1,200 at Kembla, still beat them. Batiga's certainly in the game. The Gem Song form's easy to like through Cascade, and they both ran well in a Group 1 last week. Buffalo River, would have loved some rain. Dawn Passage next. Look, I'm with Rock, but I'm keeping an eye on the track pattern.
Lizzie, Craig from Keelaw's just loving hearing your voice coming over the airwaves, and it's great to be able to have you as part of the panel here. What are your thoughts and how you approach this race?
Yeah, as Gator was going through each and every runner there, I was thinking, geez, there sounds like there's a lot of speed in this race. So if there is, and that does eventuate, then it's going to suit some of these horses that are running on back in the field. And I'm looking forward to seeing Subadar back from Melbourne. I thought that he's very talented, but it was good to see him back on the board, winning with two consecutive wins. So looking forward to seeing how he presents in the yard. A couple of others that are underrated, a horse like Handle the Truth. He's been getting fit. His last start when he won at Canberra in the national sprint, I thought, was a good performance because he was a bit underdone early on in his preparation where he ran third in a bench about 94. So those sort of horses that I'll be looking forward to seeing and trying to find a bit of value. But it does sound like a fair bit of speed, so it might be suiting some back markers.
Big day of racing at Rosehill winds up with a benchmark 88 over 1,400 metres where the scratchings are numbers 3, 7, the bottom emergency 16, 17, 18 and 19. Another even market, great news heading that, number 12 at $4, tab fixed odds, Star Spangled Radio at $4.40, Academy at $8.50, $9.50 for Thy Kingdom Come, same price for Nudge, just into $11, double figures for Cigarless. Gator, how do you blast us out in the last?
Yeah, look, if it's an on-pace inside track, then Nudge is in a bit of trouble. If it's a level playing field, I think she can run really well. She did that first up. The trifecta sat 1, 2, 3 in the race. She was last hopeless at the 600 and flew home. 9 lengths above average, if you don't mind. She ran really well in the Shannon Stakes, second up last time in. That was in another on-pace dominated race. And I just thought at the double figure odds or near that now. The gates, look, she, with the scratching, she comes into 13. So she'll probably give him a start. So again, the pattern's going to be key. Segalar just couldn't hold off Subadar last time, but we know how good that horse is, and that form's probably franked by now to some extent. Has Wonderbar Masked Crusader form this horse. Star Spangled Rodeo, great news. Thy Kingdom Come, certainly in the quaddie. But I thought 9 was the value subject to the pattern.
What are you thinking here, Lizzie?
I found this one of the most difficult to assess of the day. Yard will be everything for me. Great news, did a great job last start. pardon the pun, in the provincial championship. So that would be the one that I'd be most sort of interested in seeing and form as a form reference. I think that she'd be hard to beat, but Yard will be everything.
Lizzie, what are you most looking forward to today in Sydney?
Harmony Rose, I think, is the one that I'm most looking forward to seeing. I've just had a great opinion of her. I love that she's come from that, you know, midweek meeting on the Kensington track, ran really well in a Randwick Guineas, and I think she can frank the form today. So hopefully she can get the job done. And trying to work out, trying to find a winner is what I'm most looking forward to doing tomorrow, because it does look like a tough day on paper. But hopefully the Yard is sorted out in my head for me.
Well, that's where it gets sorted out for most of us with you, Lizzie, in Sydney, because your record in the Yard is just outstanding, and it's great to have you as part of the team here on RSN 927. But Sky Racing Central and even out on social media, your picks of the Yard are very well followed and a great way to profit from an afternoon's racing in Sydney. Thanks so much for spending time with us this morning. And importantly, good luck for Queen of Wizardry in the weeks ahead.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Warren. Thanks, Gator.
Lizzie Jelfs, don't forget to look for her pick of the Yard this afternoon via Sky Racing and various other social medias. Gator, how are we playing the Rosehill card?
Our best mate, race 2, number 1, Master of Wine. A couple of value plays are both Pandemic and Nudge. They're in races 5 and races 9, respectively. But they will need a level playing field, those two, so we'll keep an eye on the pattern with them.
Well, Gator, we've kept you online for so long. You're probably due for a transition or something. You don't normally spend this time doing anything other than running or training. We've had plenty of your time this morning. Hopefully plenty of winners in both Melbourne and Sydney.
No, I still transition as quick as Caitlin Jenner, mate. It's a real problem. But, no, it's been a pleasure, mate. It's a great racing today.
David Gately there with all his thoughts on the Rosehill card, and we got his thoughts on the Caulfield card in the first hour. Kevin Casey's had a look at the Rosehill card, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning to you, Warren. Yes, look, I'm just back from my morning run as well, and happy to talk to you.
Yes, you and I, Kev, just pounding the pavement. It's a regular sight on a Saturday morning. How are we attacking the card?
Well, look, we've got the 6 metre rail, of course, dry track, and the sort of final Carnival Rosehill meeting before we switch to Randwick. I'm interested in pattern today. My standout of the day was Harmony Rose. I think she's peaking third up. She's new to the trip, but it looks as though it will suit perfectly well. And she's a go-forward horse who may have to lead here. That will be fine, I think, if she does. There's not a lot else in the race to go and do that. I think she's just obviously come from a midweek win first up, contested the Randwick Guineas, and her effort there... She sort of did a little bit of early work to get into a nice position. I mean, she fought strongly there against horses that obviously run well since in the Rosehill Guineas. So she goes from a midweek win to say, hey, listen, I'm Group 1 quality. And here she is in a race where, yeah, sure, Personal's sort of proven it at the class and trip. Hungry Heart, we think, will lead it up. The good fillies along with her here, but I think she just gets to control this race. Second preparation, she's really putting her hand up, and I think she's a standout on the day. So race 6, number 2, Harmony Rose for me. I'll be throwing a bit at quite a few today at longer odds. This sprint race in the middle of the day for mine is a race where everything has some hope. I'm interested in Brandenburg. John Sargent declares that he'll want further than 1,200. He's actually never raced over shorter than 1,300. He's been trialling really well, though. If you can run on, I think this is a race where you probably can do that. Speed looks solid enough for mine. He's trialling like he's going to have a good preparation ahead of him. I know he's won 2 from 17 overall, but obviously he's a Group 1 quality horse at his best. So something on him, double figures. At even longer value here, a longer price, I think Sound has a chance in the Tancred Warren. It's a race where you can look at 6, 8 horses, maybe even more than that, and say, yes, you have some hope here. And I think he's one of them. I know he doesn't win all that much. And when he won, was some reward for effort for him there. But I think what he's done over in New Zealand recently sets him up pretty well here. I like the run he gets. Again, not a high-speed race here. You've got a couple of clear-cut go-forward horses, Spirit Ridge, Angel of Truth. he'll slot in not too far behind. He's honest. Didn't run fourth in this race last year. I think he's a nice price here. He's come in a little bit. I think he's, you know, 26 into 21, something like that. So he's one at even more value that I will be throwing something at and hoping for the best.
Any thoughts on a quaddie, Kev?
Yes, I do have some thoughts on a quaddie. I think we'll go relatively skinny in the first, but some backup for Harmony Rose. So the first I'm putting in 1, 2, 3, including Hungry Heart and Personal. The second leg for mine, we'll put in 1, 5, 6, 9, and 13. The third leg, look, it's a wide open race here for mine as well, but we are going to put in 4, 5, 11, 13, and 15, and home in the last leg with 2, 6, 10, and 12. So, look, there's some risk there, but if it falls the right way, there's plenty of value in those numbers as well.
Good luck today, Kev. Best Harmony Rose in the Vinery. Thanks for joining us.